Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving deep. We're looking at a legend, Muhammad Ali, but maybe not the Ali you immediately picture.
Exactly. We're going beyond the boxing gloves, beyond the rhymes.
We're using The Soul of a Butterfly, Reflections on Life's Journey, as our guide. It's this incredible book he wrote with his daughter, Hana Yasmin Ali.
Really intimate collaboration, that one. Gives you a unique window.
And our mission here, for you listening, is to find those shortcuts, you know, to understand what really makes a life meaningful, especially when things get tough, when you face real adversity.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating about this book, The Soul of a Butterfly, is how it just flips the script on our usual ideas of, like, strength and success.
Right. It's not just a career highlights reel.
Not at all. It's an internal journey. You get the icon, Muhammad Ali, sure, but Hana, his daughter, she acts as his voice, his scribe.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it this amazing intimacy.
You feel like you're right there hearing his thoughts.
Exactly. She captures his later wisdom about life, faith, purpose in a way that feels so direct, so personal. Makes it really accessible.
And that title itself, The Soul of a Butterfly, it sets up this powerful metaphor right away, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It reframes his whole life.
You've got the caterpillar stage. Think young Cassius Clay. Hungry, ambitious, maybe a bit ego-driven, just consuming, growing, needing to prove himself.
Loud, brash, totally undeniable energy there.
And then the butterfly. It's such a contrast. This liberated soul. Graceful, spiritually awake, emerging from all the struggles.
No longer defined just by physical power, but by inner peace, by a deeper purpose.
It's a lens that, yeah, it changes how you see his entire story.
And that transformation, that's really the heart of the book. It introduces what Ali called butterfly consciousness.
Butterfly consciousness. Okay, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it's not about becoming weak or losing your edge. Not at all. It's more about holding on to your dignity, your purpose, your spiritual growth. Even when life throws its worst at you.
So strength and tenderness together.
Precisely. Fierce in your beliefs, but compassionate in how you act. And connecting that to the bigger picture, that becomes the book's main argument, really.
Which is?
That true greatness comes from balancing power and vulnerability. It challenges those old school ideas about masculinity, about success being all about dominance.
It's a more holistic view.
Absolutely. A more enduring approach to personal growth. For Ali, you see, the caterpillar's physical power, that was just one stage. The real power, the lasting power, was spiritual.
Okay, so let's walk through his life, but focusing on that internal evolution like the book does. It's not strictly chronological in the book, but we can trace that development.
Right, it's more thematic, focusing on the growth.
We start with the formative years, what we're calling his caterpillar phase. Young Cassius Clay in Louisville.
What's striking there isn't just finding boxing.
No, it's that hunger. That almost bottomless hunger for achievement. He was driven, boastful, utterly convinced he was destined for greatness.
It was raw energy. Captivating, sometimes infuriating.
Okay. Really.
And this caterpillar energy, as the book calls it, it's really significant. It's not something to just dismiss.
It was necessary.
Vital, even, for that initial stage, that ambition needing to be the greatest. It fueled him. It got him the Olympic gold, the world title. It laid the groundwork.
But it wasn't enough on its own.
Exactly. The book argues, pretty convincingly, I think, that relying only on external validation, only on that raw power, it eventually leaves you feeling empty.
Creates a void.
Yeah. And that prepares you for the deeper transformation that needs to happen. A powerful lesson for anyone, really, about how we define success.
That void, that search for something deeper that takes us into the rise and the struggle, what the book frames as his cocoon phase.
Right. So you have the meteoric rise, the gold medal, early pro success.
But then things shift dramatically. He has this profound spiritual awakening, a real identity crisis.
And this is where the personal becomes incredibly public. He converts to Islam.
And changes his name. From Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. A huge, bold move.
Monumental. Not just a name change, like you said. It was him declaring a whole new identity, a new purpose, a new self.
And this cocoon phase, it sounds like a time of vulnerability, but maybe it wasn't.
Well, externally, yes. Intense public backlash, controversy, losing his title, his right to box. It looked like weakness or failure to many.
But internally.
Internally, paradoxically, it was a time of immense strength building, a crucible. Anna's writing really shows how this period of seeming isolation forced him to reconstruct his whole sense of self, his purpose.
A kind of death and rebirth, as the outline put it.
Exactly. Shedding that old skin, finding a spiritual footing away from the spotlight's glare. That's where the butterfly truly started forming.
And from that cocoon, we get the peak achievements and legacy, the butterfly emergence.
Yes. He returns to boxing after the ban, reclaims his titles. But he's different.
And then later, that shift from sports icon to global humanitarian, an incredible second act.
Or maybe, you could argue, the real act, the emergence of his deeper self. The fighter who came back wasn't the same.
How so?
The book describes him as more thoughtful. The brashness was still there sometimes, but tempered with a quiet grace. The boasts were replaced by a kind of humility that paradoxically made him seem even more powerful.
And his later work, the humanitarian stuff.
That really showed the shift. He consciously used his immense fame to serve love, you know, to advocate for justice, to heal rather than just fight. That was the butterfly consciousness fully realized, a life aimed at a higher purpose.
It's an incredible arc. So after seeing this evolution, what's the takeaway for us? Let's dig into the driving forces, what the book calls the core philosophy, the pillars of Ali's soul.
Right. What were those core beliefs that went beyond boxing?
The first one seems absolutely central. Faith and spirituality being more important than any worldly success.
Yeah, and his view on his own titles is so telling. He called them temporary assignments from God.
Wow. Not personal trophy.
Not ultimately. His conversion to Islam wasn't just, you know, a political statement, though it had huge political implications. Internally, it was the bedrock, his moral compass.
The thing that anchored him when everything seemed to be against him.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it makes you ask, doesn't it? How do we measure success? Is it just the stuff we accumulate, the titles we get? Or is it about the principles we hold on to, especially when it's hard?
That ties right into the next pillar. True strength is moral, not physical. Which, for a boxer, sounds almost revolutionary.
It really does. But Ali's life, as Hana portrays it, is the proof. His greatest strength wasn't the punch.
It was.
It was sacrificing everything, his title, his prime years, for his principles over the Vietnam War. It was enduring the public hate, the legal battles, and later facing Parkinson's with such dignity.
That grace in the face of physical decline.
Exactly. It puts fleeting physical power in perspective against enduring character, against spiritual strength. He found power in conviction, not just his fists.
Such a powerful shift. And the final pillar you mentioned, legacy defined by service, not trophies. He had that famous quote, right?
Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth.
But how did he square that with his early I am the greatest persona? Was it always there or did it evolve?
The book shows it as a clear evolution. That early self-promotion was undeniable, part of the caterpillar phase. But the transformation involved a conscious shift.
He came to see his fame differently.
Yes, as a platform given by God. A responsibility, a trust to serve others, to be a voice for people who didn't have one.
And Hana provides examples of this.
Oh, absolutely. Stories of him connecting with ordinary people, visiting hospitals, using his global presence not just for himself, but to uplift. For the later Ali, the real trophy wasn't a belt. It was what he gave back.
Okay, so these core beliefs shaped him. But life often turns on specific moments, doesn't it? Let's look at those three pivotal turning points the book highlights. Moments of real metamorphosis.
Yeah, those hinges upon which his life swung.
The first one has to be his conversion to Islam.
Foundational, like we touched on. It was more than changing religion. It was a spiritual earthquake for him. Moving from his Christian roots to the Nation of Islam, and then later Sunni Islam.
Hana describes it as an awakening.
A profound one. Giving him that sense of identity, purpose, self-worth he hadn't fully grasped before. And doing it in the mid-60s as a black superstar?
Mm-hmm.
Hugely controversial. The backlash for dropping the name Cassius Clay was immense.
And figures like Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, they were key during this time.
Instrumental, according to the book, especially in that intense cocoon phase, providing the spiritual framework, the anchor he needed for everything that came next.
And that anchor was tested almost immediately.
Yeah.
The second turning point, his refusal to fight in the Vietnam War.
A moment of incredible moral clarity and courage, grounding it in his faith, his sense of justice. I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong.
The cost was just staggering.
Unimaginable for most athletes today.
Yeah.
Stripped of his title, convicted, facing prison, banned from boxing for 3.5 years. Prime years.
But he didn't see it as just a tragedy.
No. He framed it. And Hana conveys this powerfully as a crucible, a test. It showed that true courage is standing by your principles when the world condemns you, even if it means losing everything society values.
It was principled resistance.
An act that showed real power sometimes means accepting powerlessness, trusting something higher.
And the third turning point, perhaps the most universally understood, maybe the most poignant, his battle with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah. This slow, relentless illness taking away those incredible physical gifts, the speed, the voice, the shuffle.
We all remember him lighting the Olympic torch in 96, shaking but so determined.
Such a powerful, heartbreaking moment, and the book presents this as the ultimate test of his faith, his final, most profound challenge.
Forcing him back onto his inner strength.
Completely. When the body failed, all he had left was that spiritual core. Hannah calls it his final cocoon phase, where the soul, the butterfly, could finally emerge completely free from the physical.
It revealed strength isn't about physical perfection.
No, it's about grace and vulnerability, resilience of the spirit. He became this global symbol of courage through suffering, inspiring millions just by enduring with dignity.
Wow. Okay, so reflecting on all this, the struggles, the transformations, what are the big lessons for us, for you listening? How can we use our own cocoon phases, our hard times, for growth? This is the human lessons and reflection part.
Well, one huge lesson is about the integration of opposites. Ollie managed to be strong and gentle, confident and humble, fierce and tender.
But it seems contradictory.
It does. But his life shows that maturity often involves holding these tensions, moving beyond either thinking. True effectiveness often lies in that balance.
How did he do that, though? Especially coming from that early brashness.
The book suggests it was a conscious, lifelong effort, really driven by his spiritual path. His faith constantly pushed him to reconcile the worldly with the divine. And those tough times, those cocoon phases, they were essential in forcing him to confront those inner conflicts and choose humility and service. It wasn't automatic.
A constant process. That makes sense. And connected to that, you mentioned the power of vulnerability.
Yes. His openness, especially later, about his fears, his mistakes, his illness, it showed a different kind of courage, didn't it?
It really did. In a world that expects perfection, what's the lesson there for us about, you know, showing our own flaws?
Ollie demonstrated that vulnerability isn't weakness. It can be a source of profound strength and, crucially, connection. His honesty humanized him. It let people connect on a much deeper level.
Made his message even stronger, maybe.
I think so. It teaches us that authentic connection, real resilience, often comes when we stop pretending, when we acknowledge our struggles.
Which helps us in cultivating resilience through perspective, you know, shifting from why me to what can I learn from this? Ollie had that quote about training.
Right. I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion.
How does that apply beyond boxing?
Well, that perspective transforms suffering, doesn't it? From something passive that happens to you into an active chance to grow. Job loss, relationship problems, health issues.
You reframe it.
Exactly. You consciously look for the meaning, the lesson, the way it can refine you. Just like Ollie did through his biggest trials, you see it as a refining fire, not just bad luck.
Okay, bringing this deep dive towards its close, let's distill three final takeaways from The Soul of a Butterfly. Three clear insights for you to hold on to.
All right. First, an emotional insight. Muhammad Ali's journey really underscores that the true measure of a life isn't really about the external noise, the applause, the medals. It's found more in the quiet whisper of a clear conscience.
True strength is internal.
Internal. Residing in vulnerability, in generosity of spirit, not just physical might.
Okay. What about an intellectual takeaway?
An intellectual insight. Transformation isn't like flipping a switch. It's a continuous process, a lifelong evolution. Ali himself said, the man who views the world at 50 the same as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life.
Meaning every phase offers growth.
Exactly. Even adversity and true influence, his life shows, can actually deepen even when physical abilities fade.
And finally, a universal lesson.
A universal insight. Authentic power. The kind that truly matters. Serves love, not ego. Ollie's evolution from focusing on self-glory to becoming this global ambassador for humanity. It's a profound lesson.
It challenges us how?
It challenges us to look at our own achievements. Are they just for us? Or are they measured by the positive, compassionate impact we have on others? It's about service.
That's a powerful framework. Thinking about Ollie's life through that lens. Caterpillar to butterfly, as you reflect on this, here's a final thought. How could embracing that butterfly consciousness affect your life?
Your personal journey, sure. but maybe also how you lead, how you engage with your community.
What could happen if more of us really tried to integrate power with love, strength with grace in our everyday interactions? Something to definitely ponder. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.